Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of SYD Life. Today we are going to be talking about victim culture, taking personal responsibility for our emotions, and we have a special guest coming up later, so stay tuned. Mm. Before that, as you might be able to tell, Alex isn't here. Aw. Aw. Maybe I won't get like so dug into today. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
yeah.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yep.
But Tyler's here.
Hello.
Good
to be here.
Which is going to be so fun. He's just popping in.
Yeah. It's a drive-by.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Just with the best shirt ever.
Thanks.
Yeah. Target.
Are you really, you're blasting me today.
I just said that it's nice. I literally just complimented
Maybe
you.
Maybe I'm just insecure about my Target shirt.
Mm, it's like when someone compliments you and you're like, oh, is this from Kmart?
It's from Kmart.
And you're like, oh, thanks. Yeah, I just picked it up.
Although, these days...
Kmart's kind of slang.
Kmart pops off on the reg.
I'm trying to think. I'm not wearing any Kmart.
Yeah, neither. This is like an op shop.
Yeah. Tyler loves his op shops.
Yeah, you gotta like...
You're kind of like an op shop queen, if I did say. King.
King. Yeah, I'd prefer king. Yeah. But,
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, one man's trash...
It's another man's treasure.
Tyler's treasure, baby.
It's always Tyler's treasure.
And I'm on a budge.
It's perfect. It's 10 out of 10. Before we get into it, I have like a pretty important question for you.
Okay.
And I was just wondering if you've seen Kate Middleton.
Yeah. Our crown princess.
Yeah. She's missing apparently. Apparently she's gone missing. It was like the funniest. It's not funny. She's fine. Because she's fine.
But is she though?
Yeah. Because if you, like, let's go on like a little bit of a journey here and like think about how we need to really read our news well.
Yes.
She was always going to be out of the public eye until April.
Yeah, so she had surgery.
Yeah. So she was just like, has been sick, but then posted like a photo that had been edited.
Yeah, I saw that.
And so everyone's real sus. Everyone is real sus. I'm sus.
I saw this meme and it was like, what's her husband's name?
William,
thank you. Next king. Forgot about that one. But it was, so you know he's like really bald, right?
Yeah. Just so like
this meme and I was like, Royals releasing completely undoctored photo and it's William with like his kid and he's got like this full head of hair. Just like real cash, like lush, thick locks. But I mean, if Ashley Martin could get on that, imagine that clientele.
Who's that?
Like the hair regrowth.
Oh, totally.
Like not a sponsored ad. But yeah.
I know. It's a bit of it's not a shame, but.
Like Future King is a client.
Imagine.
Like the locks that crown rests on, that's from us.
True. Have we ever had a king with hair?
In the history of the Commonwealth? Probably.
If you think about it.
They're not all bald.
I'm just thinking like current. I've only been alive.
Charles has hair.
Does he?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, sorry. Apologies.
I mean, Queen Elizabeth had great hair.
She just knew how. She knew how to cut that hair for herself, you know?
I highly doubt she did, but.
It always looked really good. I assume she would have had people doing it for her.
Oh, yep. Yep.
That's like crazy. But yeah. But yeah, if you do see Kate, just let me know.
Yeah, I will.
I'm worried.
Yeah.
I love her.
Yeah.
I really love her. All of my Scottish family, like relatives, like love.
So you're a bit of a royalist.
I am like a royalist by relation.
Mm.
Like if I hear, like see royal news, I'll message my like family that are.
I mean, do you call yourself British?
No.
Are you British?
No.
But you've got British family.
I've got... Yeah. Well, I've got Scottish relos. But yeah. So that was like a fun news thing. but then everyone was even more sus when she like gave the explanation. Because everyone's like,
it's not adding up.
No.
Yeah.
Like where is the little corner of Charlotte's sleeve? And you know what I thought that was funny?
You're in deep. Oh my God.
I'm a journalist.
Yeah, of course.
We unpacked it deeply in my class yesterday.
Wow.
The other thing that I thought was sus that no one was talking about was like her arms looked like, I mean, she might just have like long arms.
But also if you've had like abdominal surgery, you can't be stretching. That's like that's like, you'd be tearing that open. You know what I'm saying? Like when my wife had a C-section, like you couldn't even, you couldn't even like turn your head.
Yeah.
Let alone embrace.
It just like looked like she was like this. And it's like, where are your kids fitting into that? Like her arms were like fully around and just like, looks like they'd stretched them a bit. But she's an amateur editor. So what can I say? Go queen. I mean, princess.
Yeah, she probably just
Princess
whipped
of Wales.
Something on Canva. Yeah. At home.
Photoshop generative AI.
Mm.
That's probably what it was.
It's like thick, lush locks. Boom.
Done.
There you go, darling.
Done. I love, you know who I do love though? I love Princess Charlotte.
Why is that?
I actually was so mad when they named.
Yeah, because you're Gen Z and then you realize you've never had a unique experience in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. I just remember I was in year four and I was like, oh, damn, already have the most popular name in Australia and now it's taken over the world.
I met this guy the other day and he was like, yeah, he's probably in his 80s, right?
Oh.
And I was like, hi, I'm Tyler. Nice to meet you. And he goes, Tyler, where's that name from? Is that a Freemason name? And I was like, oh gosh, I don't know. Then he started telling me all about the depths. And I was like, it means to tile. Like,
Charlotte, if you look up Charlotte definition, it's like an apple dessert.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
God, I love a bit of apple and dessert.
I hate it.
What?
I hate apple pies.
Apple crumble is top tier. What? Get off.
I love the crumble part. I hate the apple.
Oh, God. You're like a child who like...
I don't like the texture of cooked apple.
No crust on my bread.
Yeah.
The apple crumble.
Why did you just sing that? Mummy, no crust on my bread.
Bread.
Coming, Mom.
Oh, my gosh. It's like, Mom.
Mom. So good. I love this because you get all my references.
Yes.
Alex is just like, One Direction? What's that?
Well, ours are full-blown millennial.
Yeah. I actually am glad you brought this up.
You're a zillennial.
You always call me a zillennial and it's...
Because I know it triggers
makes
you.
Me so mad.
Because it's your life's goal to hate millennials.
Yeah.
I hate cannot them wait. Jen Alpha is going to humble you.
It's already happened.
Bad.
It already happened.
Getting a taste of your own medicine.
I hate it.
Well,
they don't humble me. I just am like, oh, I'm.
Yeah, not yet. They're like 12. Give them like 3 years.
I don't
and they're going to be like, oh, sambles? Mm-mm.
Sambles or sambas?
Oh, that's embarrassing. Let's pretend that didn't happen. Adidas, Sambols.
Adidas. Yeah, oh, it's so good.
I speak German, so yeah.
You speak German?
Yeah, das is good Sambols.
I thought you spoke Japanese.
Yeah, I'm multilingual.
Give us a little thing for our Japanese listeners.
Yeah, konnichiwa, watashi no namae wa Taira desu.
Wow, it's actually quite impressive.
Kochira wa Charlotte-san desu ne.
What did you just say?
I said, hi, I'm Tyler, and this is Charlotte.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Why are you immediately suspicious?
It's just how I have to be in this seat.
Okay, if you're Japanese and listening to this, please write in and vouch.
Let us know in the comments.
Vouch for me.
I feel bad for when we're having to put the captions over it. We're going to need you to transcribe what you said.
Yeah. AI can do it.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Well, we're about to go into a fun time.
Fun for you.
Yeah, fun for me. Just kicking Tyler out. Well, we're gonna be handing over to some special guests, so enjoy. Well, guys, I'm here with Ellie Zare. She is studying her honours in psychology at the moment. We are so excited to have you. I literally was just saying, I'm like bubbling.
Thank you, Sha. I'm so impressed that you got my last name right.
Yeah. I will say this morning I wasn't, so I put in the work today.
What was your initial shot?
Like Zaya.
Yeah.
Zaya. It has that A.
Well,
on
it is Italian, so I wonder if that's how they initially said it. Zaya,
maybe. Zaya. Oh, that's fun. Italian.
Yeah,
that's
just
good.
A little bit.
Yeah, Elie Zaya.
Thanks, so Char. I'm happy. I'm keen to be here.
I'm so excited. And today we're talking about like victimhood, victim culture, that like taking personal responsibility. And I'm just keen to get straight into it.
Cool.
If that's Let's okay with you. So our first question would kind of just be like, what is victim culture? If we want to give like a, even like a broad overview, like what have you identified, like give us a bit of a download.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool, cool. I'm also keen to hear your thoughts on this. Yes. Yeah. I feel like you're, how old are you?
I'm 20. Almost 21.
Okay. We're a decade apart.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm keen to hear from this from your perspective.
Yeah.
Because I probably had quite a different view on this when I was your age.
Totally. Yeah.
But so in terms of victimhood or victim mindset, when we're thinking about someone who might have a victim mindset, it would be someone who we would say has an external locus of control.
Ooh.
Now, you're doing uni.
Yes.
What are you studying?
Communications.
Okay. Have you heard of this before?
No.
Do you want to have a stab at what it means?
Can you say it again?
An external locus of control.
Locus?
Yeah.
Is it like being like outside of yourself?
Well, it's a good stab. I'll give you that. It's a good stab. Yeah, thank
you. I was really stabbing in the dark.
No, you did so well. It's so if someone has an external locus of control as opposed to an internal one, they have the worldview that their life circumstances and their actions are totally subject to forces that are outside themselves. So you're right on that, on that part.
Okay.
So generally like up to people or fate. So to simplify, they believe that they have no control over their life circumstances or their actions.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Ask me again.
External locus of control. Go.
They've got a perspective of their outside. I immediately went blank.
You are going to do so great at university.
I just keep thinking of the locust bug.
Do you know what? It's very insect-like, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah.
That's what it reminds me of as well.
The world is against them.
100%.
That's what you're saying. Yep. I'm with you. I'm back.
So if we think where this type of worldview might come from, we've all been in a situation before that's unideal where we've maybe tried many things to get out of that circumstance.
Yeah.
So have you ever had a habit, Char, that you've tried so many things to kick it, but you just haven't quite been able to?
Yeah. I was like a thumb sucker for years.
Really?
For years. Like we tried like the nail polish that like tastes bad.
Yeah.
And like the like Band-Aid just to like, I couldn't stop.
Oh my
so
gosh.
Yeah.
How old were you when you stopped?
I think I was like in year four.
Okay.
So I was like, I was old. I was like double digits at least.
So this is a great example because for some people, the situation that they're trying to change is maybe an addiction or a habit that is quite detrimental to their life.
Yeah.
And so you can imagine if you have tried your best to change a circumstance and your best hasn't been good enough.
Yeah.
For someone to look at you and say, hey, you know what? It's not your fault. Take all the pressure off. This is just a part of who you are. You can move forward with your life just kind of accepting this. You have to admit that feels good.
Yeah, totally.
That feels good.
Yeah.
But the problem is that long term, it doesn't lead you to any course of action and you can miss out like on a level of freedom that's available to you.
Yeah.
So this reminds me of a concept called learned helplessness. Have you heard
that.
Of this?
No.
Okay.
Just assume I haven't. I love it though.
So this researcher, Martin Seligman, he's like the father of a branch of psychology called positive psychology, which is really fun. You should look it up sometime. Yeah. But he did this epic experiment in the 60s where he had two groups of dogs. And now this experiment has since been ethically questioned.
Sure.
So just roll with me. Just
We're in the 60s, guys.
We're in the 60s. Keep in mind.
Yeah.
Just roll with me for the point I'm trying to demonstrate.
Yeah.
So he has these two groups of dogs. The first group of dogs he puts in this cage and they receive electric shocks from the ground. But there is a button in the cage and the dogs learn that when they push this button, they escape the shocks.
Right.
The second group of dogs are put in exactly the same scenario, except there's no button. So they have no way of avoiding these shocks.
Right.
So after the conditioning has taken place, He then puts these dogs into a different environment, which is a room in the shape of a box. Mm. On one side of this room is electric shocks. It's divided by a wall and there's no shocks on the other side. So the first group of dogs who had had the button really quickly figure out that they can just jump over this wall and escape the shocks.
Okay.
Now what's fascinating is the second group of dogs, when they were put in the room, they didn't even attempt to escape the shocks.
Yeah, right.
Because they developed this cognitive expectation that they couldn't avoid pain.
Yeah, sure.
So that's fascinating to me because it's two different scenarios. Yeah. And I wonder sometimes if one area of our life we've been unsuccessful at changing, we've tried things, we've been discouraged, and maybe that bleeds into or translates into, into other areas.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that is something that I've seen like in even like myself and in my friends, people in my life. That it's just, I feel like so many things, even like I think in like childhood, how much that makes such an impact in like how we react to things, how we respond to things. And, you know, tell me if I'm,
if I'm wrong here. No, you're on the right track.
Yeah,
totally.
Just that like.
Because when you get, when you get discouraged.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and I feel like actually you might, you've completed your first year of uni. Once you complete something that you never thought in the past you thought wasn't possible.
Totally.
It starts to make you think, I wonder what other areas of my life I've just accepted, but actually I'm so much more capable than what I think.
That is such an example with uni because I took a gap year because I was just like, I can't even imagine myself doing uni. And then I did it and it was like so easy and so fun.
Go.
And it's just like, it's so, that's such a good point.
Yeah.
Like so much potential.
Totally.
I feel like that's painted such a good picture. And then I guess within like young people, when we see that like victimhood kind of come out, like would we just say that that has come from?
Oh, do you mean on things like social media and like?
Yeah.
Just or, on, in the, in a broader sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is really interesting because it's interesting that our society has, in one way it's good because we have taken a step toward like acknowledging people's pain.
Yeah.
Like we weren't, speaking of the 60s.
Yeah, totally.
We didn't used to be very good at that.
Yeah.
And now it is, you have to admit, part of it's beautiful, but that we are finally recognizing people's suffering.
Yeah.
And stepping into that with them. However, it almost seems like it's gone to the opposite extreme now, doesn't it? Where we're doing that, but then we're not helping people take action.
Yeah.
To help them actually flourish and live a better life.
Yeah, that's so true.
What's your thoughts on that? Because I don't know what it's like amongst 20-year-olds anymore.
No, totally. I feel like a lot of the conversations we have in some of the past podcasts, Alex Vancombe, who's our host, has like kind of labelled like the spiral girls. As like when,
spiral girls.
Like when we, when like I'm with my friends and we're just chatting and we just spiral.
Oh.
So I feel like that's such a good example of just being like, almost like too validating sometimes of people that it's just like, no, you are so right in that position. You're so right. And it's just like, maybe they're not and we need to.
Are any of your friends, of these spiral girls, are any of them challenges? Like do any of you say, all right, great cry.
Yeah.
What's our action?
I feel like a lot of us, no.
This is classic.
Yeah, yeah. Occasionally I feel like that, you know, there'd be scenarios where it's like, well, let's do something about that. But I think even like more broadly, we are in like such a time of we don't want to offend anyone. So it's just very much the like, just like let's keep the peace among everyone. Like everyone can feel whatever they want, which totally.
Yep.
But yeah, I think bringing some action in and like the conversations I have with people who do challenge are like the most productive, fruitful ones.
Yeah.
So that's really good.
There's such a way to do it though, hey?
Yeah, totally. Coming with love and truth.
Yeah.
But love first so that you can speak truth.
That's it, Sha. Yeah. And it is like being honest with a friend is actually one of the most loving things you can do.
Yeah.
I mean, we hear this all the time, but that is more loving sometimes than to continually validate what they're going through.
Absolutely.
But it's definitely got to be done with like wisdom and sensitivity.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, I love that. It's so true. Such a good thing to live by. This will lead well into my next question, which is just like, how does this victim culture affect our ability to take responsibility for our actions and like our relationships, our choices? Like, how does that kind of bleed into kind of what you were saying before? Like, how can, even then, how can we, what can we do about it so it stops bleeding into everything?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we talked about this external locus of control. So I have no control over my actions. This is a super disempowering belief.
Yeah.
And I want to be sensitive here because, as you know, some people have been through unimaginable experiences. And I would never want those people to mistake me as saying it's your fault that that happened to you or that that's okay.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm saying at all. Yeah. Like we can't control what happened to us in the past.
Yeah.
We also, when you think about it, are not guaranteed tomorrow.
Totally.
So all you have control over, all I have control over, is the action I take today toward the person I want to be.
Yeah.
Or toward, you know, the life I would dare to imagine for myself and my family or my community. So the thought that I have no control over my actions is completely unhelpful and disempowering.
Yeah. Yeah.
The thought that I have total control over my circumstances and my actions is completely unrealistic.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
But the thought that, hey, I have a decent amount of control over my circumstances and my actions is super empowering and super helpful.
Yeah.
So some of my favorite research in this area is by, I'm going to butcher her name, a woman called I'm going to have to look it up.
No, it's fine.
Sorry, Sonia. Libomirsky.
Oh,
right.
Nice.
Sonia Libomirsky. She and her team of researchers have looked extensively at the science of happiness.
Ooh, fun.
And she talks about these three factors that contribute to our happiness, which are our genetics, our life circumstances, and our intentional activities. Mm-hmm. So genetics is pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
Life circumstances are things like our income, where we live, and then intentional activities, anything from like social groups that we might be a part of, expressing gratitude, volunteering.
Yeah, cool.
Physical activity that we engage in.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to quiz you.
Please.
I'm going to quiz you. Okay.
Please.
So, if we have like, if we have a pie chart that makes up 100, how much would you guess that each of these three factors contribute to our happiness?
Oh my gosh.
So, we've got, I'll remind you, we've got genetics.
Genetics.
Life circumstances and intentional activities.
Okay. And how much they each
make up of the pie.
Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to think back to when I was in high school and we studied like the nurture versus nature topic.
You do remember some of this.
Yeah, but and I just remember us being like, they both. Like, in fact, I think I'd say, I feel like the main one would be, I feel like I'm probably going to be wrong, but the main one would be the life circumstances. I feel like that takes up, and then the intentional one, maybe I'll start using percentages. Okay, let's go like 60% for the life circumstances one. I feel like I'm just going to be so wrong.
No, hit me with your best shot.
Yeah, it's just, it's a theme. I'm just learning so much. And then let's do, wait, because I've used 60, so that leaves. Ooh, wait, hold on. Wait, let's do 40% life circumstances.
Percentages. What year did we do percentages? Is this year six or is this high school?
I didn't do maths year 11 and 12, so I just like.
You are doing so well right now.
You. 40, let's do 40% for the life circumstances. I'll do.
I don't think you have anything left for the other one.
Wait, no. I've started again. 40% life circumstances, 10% intentional, and then 40. And then, but now I've left 50 for, what was it called?
Genetics.
Genetics. Yeah, okay. I'm happy with that. Oh,
well,
it's done.
Lock it in, Eddie.
It's done.
Well, the one you did get right is genetics.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Her
research has found that does account for 50% of the variance in our happiness.
Mm-hmm.
But what you guessed for the other two is probably what most people would guess.
Okay.
And it's fascinating because the prevailing theory in psychological research for the longest time has been that we have a genetic set point of happiness.
Yeah,
so basically like, we're doomed. Like our happiness is determined by our genetics. Right. That's what the thought was.
Sure.
But through this research, they've looked at all the previous literature and done experimental research as well. Mm-hmm. So they found that 50% of the variance in our happiness is accounted for by genetics. And this is the fascinating one. Mm. They found that life circumstances only account for 10% of the variance in our happiness. Now, this is crucial because we have such a tendency to think, like, this is a common one. When I get a boyfriend, I'm going to be a bit happier.
Yeah, totally.
When I get a little bit more money, even if it's only a little bit, I'm going to be a bit more happier.
Yeah.
Or like when that person is out of my life, I'm going to be thriving.
Yeah.
But we as humans overestimate the impact that circumstantial change has on our happiness.
Wow.
But the cool part is that intentional activities accounted for 40% of the variance. Now that's
huge. That's like kind of hopeful.
It's hopeful. We have more agency than what we think.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, that's so good. Some good news.
It's one of my favorite studies.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. So we're in charge.
We're in charge. Yeah. We're a lot more in charge than what we think.
Yeah.
And like, so taking action and often it's frustrating because it's like one small action at a time. But long term, the way that impacts our levels of well-being and happiness is pretty substantial. Mm.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you about like self-awareness. So I feel like that comes in nicely here. So then like knowing, you know,
I have
agency.
Yes.
Over my happiness. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's can be so freeing for some people.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
100%. And here's the thing with good old self-awareness.
Yeah.
To have moments in your life where you step away from your circumstance, like objectively and look at your life and with complete honesty, take responsibility for some of the areas that aren't ideal. That actually is so much easier said than done because when we do that, like I've had to do that recently in an area of my life and man, it's a shot to the ego.
Oh, isn't it?
Isn't it? Because you're saying I missed the mark. I dropped the ball and I actually
totally.
I can't make excuses for that anymore.
Yeah.
But like it is like you were saying before, it's the most freeing thing because sometimes like actually you won't move forward and find freedom unless you like face that responsibility. Can I give you an example?
Please.
So in my teenage years, I struggled with eating disorders. Mm-hmm. And in my early 20s, I decided that I would start recovering.
Beautiful.
But thank you. But it took me about 4 or 5 years to recover because I kept relapsing. And during that time, I really relied heavily on my parents.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I just relied on them to be well and to feel good. And whenever they would go away, I would just fall to pieces.
Yeah.
So I remember this time they went on holidays and I relapsed. And my brother, Shah, is like the most even-tempered, gentle man I've ever
met. I've met him.
Well, have you met my brother?
Yeah, I met him at your 30th.
Oh.
He was so beautiful.
Isn't he sweet?
He was so sweet.
Sorry, Dan, I'm exposing you now. But like I had only ever heard him raise his voice like once in my life.
Right, yeah.
And I think this day he must have just had enough.
Right,
and he with a raised tone said to me like, "Elle, what are you doing?" He said, "You keep relying on everybody else for your recovery. Whenever dad and mum and dad go away, like you fall to pieces." He's like, and I remember him saying to me, like, "It's time to get better."
Yeah, wow.
And to be honest, in that moment, I was so offended because I think I even yelled back to him. Like, I said, "Can't you see that I have tried like everything within my power to beat this? Like I'm working my hardest."
Yeah.
And I was so offended at what he said. But a few days later, I was thinking about it and I thought, you know what? He's right. I have been trying to recover for 5 years now. Mm. Even if this arose from a set of circumstances that I didn't have control over, like it's now starting to take a toll on my family and friends and nobody else is going to get me better.
Yeah.
Like I have to take responsibility for this. And I didn't get better there and then, but I remember that being like a crucial moment, like turning point in my recovery. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. It's beautiful.
That's okay.
It's such a, such a, like a vivid example of that because it can hurt.
It hurts.
It hurts. Yeah. It's like even on like a smaller scale, if I'm anxious and I'll like journal about it, then I read it back. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, why were you stressed about that?
It totally exposes like
in the in the moment you're like, this is like life or death, so stressed. And then it's like, oh, all I need to do was
text that person or like.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And that reminds me of like, if it's similar to when we have to say sorry to someone. We feel so humiliated. But when you give a genuine apology to someone, it's always amazing how they don't actually mind about what you did. They're actually just stoked that you apologized to them.
Totally. Totally. Yeah.
So people don't care as much as we think they do. And so humility is so key in all of this, what we're talking about. Like taking responsibility. And
yeah, totally. Yeah. Humility is so important. Mm. I love that. My like kind of last question is if we have friends that maybe we kind of can see this like victimhood kind of coming through, what would you say is like the best way that we can kind of support them? You know, we kind of touched on it before in the like being honest, but is there any like maybe like practical ways that we can really come aside them and you know, move forward?
Sure.
Yeah.
So to be honest with you, I haven't been the best at this in the past because these days I'm an action taker.
Yeah.
Are you an action taker?
It depends.
I get action taker vibes off
you. Yeah, I am.
You're a go-getter.
I'll say I am, but there's totally some things.
Like you were telling me about your assignments.
Yeah.
Guys, Charlotte does her assignments on the day that they're due.
Only sometimes. But yeah, the final ones. It's so bad. It's such a bad habit. But I'm going to break it.
Yeah, go.
This semester I will be different.
Yes.
I totally say that every time.
Take that action.
Yeah. No, I'll live by it. You guys can check in with me. Check in.
Keep you accountable.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but totally.
So I am an action taker. You're an action taker. And sometimes out of my impatience and frustration, I can tend to challenge my friends to action too soon.
Mm.
And don't get me wrong. As we were saying, there is a time to be honest. That's one of the most loving things you can do. But it's important that we don't skip the step of stepping into a friend's pain.
Yeah.
And I think the Bible really answers the question that you asked me because if we like read the Bible with a closed mind, sometimes we miss that we serve an emotional God.
Yeah.
And like, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing that he has emotions. That's very relatable to us because, you know, the Bible says that there's times when Jesus felt distressed in the garden. Like God at times felt angry. He felt pleased. He rejoices over his work. And John 11 is a story where one of Jesus's friends gets really sick and Jesus goes to see this friend. It's Lazarus, of course.
Yeah.
But Lazarus has died when Jesus arrives. Yeah. I think it's Bethany, arrives in Bethany. And Lazarus's sister Mary, who's also one of Jesus's friends, the Bible says she goes up to Jesus. She falls at his feet and she says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died."
Yeah. Says he's too late.
Yeah. So she's devastated.
Mm.
And Jesus does something so surprising here because he's told his disciples he's going to raise this man from the dead. He knows that he's about to make his friend ecstatic with joy.
Yeah.
Except he doesn't let that dismiss his friend's pain.
Yeah.
Or like he doesn't try to avoid the discomfort of his friend's pain.
Totally.
So the Bible says that Jesus was deeply moved by his friend's tears.
Mm.
And the next verse is like the shortest verse in the Bible. I love it. And it says Jesus wept.
Yeah.
And man, that challenges me because he didn't go in to fix it. He was about to fix it.
Yeah.
But he didn't go in to fix it.
Yeah.
He heard his friend's grief and he stepped into it with her. And so that challenges me, Shark, to do that with my friends.
Yeah.
But what do you think?
Yeah, I think
with your friends.
Yeah, I think you're so onto it. Like just like there's such a time when like, you know, we do need to be honest and we do need to show that to them if we can.
Mm.
But I think there's just something so beautiful about just like sitting with your friend when they just need someone to be like, "I'm just going to be with you. I'm not going anywhere." Mm. Like I've just seen that with my friends that how like there was like a situation a few years ago where it was just like all our friends just were going through it. And just like the best thing was that we all felt it. Like one of our friends was, you know, grieving and just we all, like five of us all were grieving with her. And it was like just the thing that got us through.
That's precious that you did that because it's a real cost. Like when you choose to feel someone else's emotions, that's actually a real cost.
Yeah, totally.
So that's really precious that you and your friends did that.
Yeah. And it was just like, it was almost, we probably weren't even aware that we were, it was costing us because it was just like, we didn't know what else to do. Because it was, you know, it was kind of, I remember being kind of nervous about like, oh, what do I say?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I need to go and like just encourage her. But it was just like, no, just like sitting and, you know, like crying with them and just like all that was just so vital. And it was just the ultimately the thing that got us through. There's times when we have to like come in and talk stuff out in that way. But I think, yeah, it's so important. And just, it's that like humility again, just being like, I actually don't have the answer here.
Totally.
So I'm not going to pretend that I do.
That's spot on. Because we're such fixers, aren't we?
Totally.
And this is another topic which we easily could have talked about today, but we didn't. Like when we talk about emotional regulation, we always want to feel the good emotions.
Totally.
Because we see the negative ones as bad.
Yeah.
The thing is like grief is not something bad to feel. Like it's actually, it's actually a very natural part of the process. Grief is good. Grief is actually something good, and we're generally pretty uncomfortable with that. So it's good for us to start practicing with our friends.
Yeah.
When they're telling us something uncomfortable, thinking, oh, I'm going to breathe through this for a second and just feel this crappy emotion with them.
Yeah, totally.
And like you said, it's so tempting to start thinking like, oh, I don't want to say anything that's going to offend them or what's the right thing to say here. But actually just feeling what they're feeling
totally
is such a productive thing to do.
Totally. And just like even when I've been in situations where I've been the person that like needs the friend, it's just like so nice that they're not, you know, it's like speaking. It's just like we just need like a moment here. It's just so, so great to have that. So
it often, and it's funny how it often solves so much of your problem for you, doesn't it? Just feeling heard.
Yeah. Oh, totally. You're speaking my language. I love that. I love that. Yeah. No, that's beautiful. Yeah. Well, I think that's all we have time for.
Awesome.
I'm so thankful. We are so blessed to have you, Ellie.
Thank you, Sha.
Honestly, so much wisdom, so much knowledge. Got a big brain in there.
Oh,
it's so good. But yeah, thank you so much for your time.
You're very welcome. Appreciate it. I've enjoyed chatting to you. I could chat to you for ages, Sha.
Forever, we should. But yeah, thank you so much for joining us.
All the best with your second year of uni.
Thank you. I'll let you know how I go.
Yes,
I'll let you know if I do my assignments on time.
Yeah, and let me know. I've got a great, I don't know if you're a reader. I'm a reader.
Oh,
but
love.
I've got a great book on study habits.
Send her that's like, through
and it's
to
not
me.
Your generic study habits. It's stuff that actually works.
I need it.
Game changer.
Yeah,
I'll send it your way.
Perfect. Thank you. Well, so good to hear from Ellie.
Gosh, it's good.
First guest of the season.
Yeah.
Which is really fun. Just to wrap things up before we finish, I always like to really test the mind of my counterpart.
Yep.
So I've got some riddles here for you.
Okay.
How are you with riddles?
They confound me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. This is the first one. I feel like you might know this one just by having heard it.
I'm a bit nervous.
Okay.
Like I want to impress you with my hierarchy.
I don't want you. I want to be laughing at you. Okay. This is like quite an obvious, well, I don't know.
Give it a go.
I speak without a mouth and hear without ears. I have no body, but I come alive with the wind. What am I?
My first thought was a fart, but that doesn't make sense. I speak without a mouth. I have no ears. Can you say it again? I come alive with the wind.
In the river. I speak without a mouth and hear without ears.
And I come alive.
I have no body, but I come alive with
clouds. A whistle.
No.
Oh.
It is like a noise. Well, obviously. Just think about you're in an empty car park and you yell.
An echo.
Yeah. Good job. You got it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I forgot maybe you said fart.
Farts can echo.
True. Okay. What is seen in the middle of March and April that can't be seen at the beginning or end of either month?
The letter R.
You got it! Oh,
yes! Have I been redeemed?
Yeah, but I'm about to humble you again, so.
Oh, okay.
But good job.
Oh, I'm proud of myself.
Yeah, I'm proud of
See
you.
How quick that was?
Yeah, that was. Did you know that one or did you guess?
That was a guess.
Wow. I wouldn't have gotten any of these.
I just find like the word ones are usually, it's usually about the word itself.
Yeah. So like the horse was called Thursday.
Yeah.
You know? This is like a bit, okay.
Go, test me.
I am something people love or hate. I change people's appearances and thoughts. If a person takes care of themselves, I will go up even higher. To some people, I will fool them. To others, I am a mystery. Some people might want to try and hide me, but I will show. No matter how hard people try, I will never go down. What am I?
I feel like something like pride or self-esteem or... Oh, am I on the right track?
No.
No?
No.
Can you, like, give me a clue?
I could really give it away.
Give me, like, a bit more, like, no matter how hard you try, it will never go down. Age.
Yes.
Oh.
Nice. I was going to say people celebrate it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Can we say I got that without?
Yeah, you got that. I didn't give you a clue.
You. And you didn't even read it again.
No.
That was a one time.
That was pretty
God,
good.
God, I'm amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, pride is an issue for me.
Yeah. I said that riddle just so you would realize the issue that you have with pride.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it was age.
Is this an intervention? It's my family.
No? Imagine Bambi just waddles out.
Yeah, Bambi's my daughter.
Bambi is so cute.
Yeah, she's
a
cutie.
Okay, last one.
Okay.
This is one that I would just, my brain would just confuse me and I'd just be awful. A girl has as many brothers as sisters, but each brother has only half as many brothers as sisters. How many brothers and sisters are there in the family?
Girl. Not a math riddle. Say it again, like slowly. Okay. A girl has yes.
as many brothers as sisters.
Yes.
But each brother has only half as many brothers as sisters. How many brothers and sisters are there in the family?
Each brother has only, is it two?
Each brother has only half as many brothers as sisters. I get the answer now.
What is it?
I'm not telling.
Is it one?
No. A girl has as many brothers as sisters, but each brother has only half as many brothers as sisters. How many brothers and sisters are there?
I'm still at base zero. I think general
Beck
math.
Beck off camera's got it.
Let me just. Yeah, I was trying to.
I
like
didn't do any math.
Expand my peripherals to see Beck. Like I saw fingers raised.
I'm trying to like help you, but I don't know how. How do you get
the
a girl has
I'm very
just
far
throw
off.
Out just throw out two numbers.
Eight. Trying to read your mind.
Yeah, four, okay, I'll think of it.
Four.
Which
five.
One? Which one's four?
Four sisters.
Yes.
And two brothers.
No.
Eight brothers.
Now, no, now he has, she has four sisters.
Yes.
The brothers. The brothers.
Six.
So we have four sisters.
Yes.
But each brother has only half as many brothers. Wait. Yeah. We have four sisters.
Can you at least read the riddle right?
Okay. A girl has as many brothers as sisters. That's a major clue. A girl has as many brothers as sisters.
So four.
No. So there's one girl and now she has
three.
Girl.
Yeah. Because she counts as one.
Yeah.
So it's four and three.
Yeah, four sisters and three brothers.
And there's eight siblings.
No.
Kids.
Seven. 4 plus 3 is 7.
Yeah, but she counts as one, so that's cool. Oh my gosh.
4 plus 3. The brothers have as many, only half as many sisters.
If anyone got this, I'm very impressed. Put your hand down.
If you got this, let us know. Also, let us know what you want to hear.
Yeah.
Topics, questions, queries, things that you want us to just discuss. Let us know. Well, that's all for today.
Done.
Thank you so much for listening. We have episodes every fortnight.
Yeah.
So tune in.
Beautiful. And Ellie, once again, thank you. Yes. That was an amazing podcast. Very insightful.
So much wisdom.
What a story as well.
Yeah. So good.
I love it. Yeah. Can't wait for the next one.
Yeah. So yeah, tune in. It's going to be good. We'll see you then.
Beautiful. See ya.
Great. SYD Life is a podcast produced by C3SYD. Find us on our website at c3syd.church. And for more clips and content, follow SYD Life on Instagram and TikTok at syd.life_.